Animal Hair. You know, I was going to play a song called Telephone Tough Guy that was sent to me by the Resume Strategy, but I didn't have the fade out prepared, and I just couldn't use it. You're probably lucky it was pretty loud, but I'm going to use it maybe next week. Anyway, before I get going, I've been complaining to Blog Talk Radio when I'm doing my very important speeches at the beginning of the show. They've got these beeps coming on. I thought it was Jerry playing with the phone to screw me up, but he swore it isn't him. And they said they'll, you know, look into it, and I never heard back from them. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I already heard one of those beeps start just before I started talking. But anyway, last week I told you about, today is June 1st, 2011. I don't know if I said it. Last week I told you about Macho Man Randy Savage. Remember he died and how he had this strong, his character was very determined. He had a lot of persistence. He hurt his shoulder when he was a baseball player, so he took 8 months to make sure he could throw with his other arm, and he got another job playing baseball. And I said he didn't learn that. He inherited it. He got it in his genes from his father, who was also a wrestler, and had the exact same kind of persistence. But you know what? I didn't back up my claim. I thought I would get around to it during the show, but everybody hated all the articles that I was talking about. They hated it so much, I just, you know, turned off the show. I decided to get out, but I'm going to defend what I said right now. So I'm going to tell you about this book by a guy named Brian Kaplan. He spells Brian in a way you'd never want to spell it, B-R-Y-A-N. But if you want to look him up, you'll find him. He looked at all the research done on identical twins who were separated at birth. You know, identical twins, I know lots of people don't know, they come from the same cell that splits apart, so they're pretty much the same person. And these twins that people studied, they turned out to be pretty much the same as adults, even though they were raised by different parents. Different people adopted them. And you know what that means? It means they weren't shaped. They weren't formed. They weren't molded by their adopted parents. They were shaped by whatever was born into them. And here's what Kaplan says. He says, you can influence a child, you can influence a child, but it doesn't have a lasting effect. Twins have the same intelligence no matter who raised them. Parents don't influence happiness. You're unhappy as an adult, or rather, if you're unhappy as an adult, it's not because of your parents. That's what he says. I don't believe it, but that's what he says. And here's something else. Parents hardly influence education at all. Hard to believe. He says, you know, you'd think that if one twin was raised by parents who went to university and the other twin wasn't, you'd see a lot more twins in university from the from the educated parents than from the uneducated parents. But really, only about 10% twins, 10% of those twins will go to college more than the uneducated ones. So I don't know, you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm going to finish, though. Family has no influence on grades. The grades, here I'm going to quote them, the grades of unrelated children raised together were no more similar than those of strangers. So if you're adopted, you know, you're not going to be like the family that you're raised in. You're like your parents were. And here's another one. Parents don't influence income. The income of the adopted family had no effect on the financial success of the child. I'm almost done. Anyway, after studying all this stuff, Kaplan decided that he wasn't going to make his kids do anything they didn't want to. He's going to take it easy as a parent. He's not going to be a tiger mom because it won't have any lasting effect. And, you know, I guess that means that no matter what I do on this show, no matter how good I am, I can't make you like it because you're either born to like it or you're not. So, Jerry, for those who get it, can you tell us what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show!
an egotist that the job board doctor made you do that super long thing because he dared you.
No, he didn't dare me. He just asked if I...
Somebody's on a cell phone! Get off this line! I don't need that noise again. We're not at the bottom of a swimming pool here, okay?
Man.
Jerry, you still there?
Animal? Yeah. I did not black out. I did not.
Yeah, that's what you
out.
Were proving. You were proving he tested you. He says, does Jerry ever black out when he's doing the shout? So Jerry did the shout double long, way more than I need or want, just so he could show off that he's a Superman. Okay, you proved it. You don't have to do it again. Thank
okay.
you, Jerry.
All right.
You're the
okay.
best. You're the best, buddy. You're the greatest. You're wonderful. I appreciate your
Thank
contribution.
You. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now, is my guest here, Jay Muna, Chrome Jay Muna?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you here? Okay,
yeah.
That wasn't you on that terrible phone.
I hope not. I have
Good.
A nice,
no, I can hear you.
Solid landline. Good Jay, Toronto phone.
Jay, just I got to ask you a question. I was talking to Jay this morning on the phone. He was on his cell phone, but I could hear him fine. And all of a sudden, he had to hang up, and he told me it's because he was arrested by the subway police. So, I mean, what, did you jump over the turnstile? We don't want any fair jumpers on this show. What happened?
So the Toronto GO train, if you don't know, is the commuter train that we have, and I always get a monthly pass. And of course, today's June 1st, and I forgot to renew my pass, so they gave me a slap on the wrist.
Liar! You just never get it. You never. Get
I got a brand. I got a brand new pass.
Yeah, they're reporting about people like you. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, that's me.
Look, I want you to sit to the side. I want you to sit to the side for a second because I've got our regular friend, the job board doctor, the guy who just made Jerry act kind of funny. He's going to come on and he's going to talk about LinkedIn's IPO and how it affects us, if at all. Job board doctor, are you here in the house?
You betcha.
Okay, don't sound so lively, okay?
Yeah,
don't
back take, it down a little bit.
Don't
back
take relaxing drugs before you come on the show. Okay, pep it up.
You know,
What's
I'm worn
story?
Out from the yell, okay? You know, you guys were yelling and my ears were rattling.
Okay, what's the story with the IPO for LinkedIn? You last week I saw you were posting there, Recruiting Animal's talking about LinkedIn, and he didn't even mention the IPO like I'm an idiot. I figured it doesn't matter to me. What's the story? Come on, here's your chance.
Well, I think the story is LinkedIn just pulled in a boatload of money, and that
how
means
much?
That they're going to...
How much? How much? Don't just say
I have no
money.
I have no bleeding idea. I forgot. It was a lot. It was more
okay,
than
they
I
went public, right?
Yeah.
And they sold their stocks, and they got a lot of money for it, right?
They did. They did. And
okay,
with money comes great responsibility. In other words, they're going to have a bunch of shareholders looking down their throats saying generate more money, because in reality they don't generate a whole ton of money right now from what they're doing. And I think as far as recruiters are concerned, I think what you can see is that they're going to be coming after recruiters and employers trying to find new ways to make money. And
so
everything's going to go up and there's going to be more things to buy.
This is bad for us. Is that what you're saying? It's bad because there's going to be less freebies and that there might be more things to buy, but you're going to have to pay for everything, right?
You got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything else you wanted to say, job board doctor?
LinkedIn is
That's
a job
enough.
Board.
Yeah, I believe it is a job board. Anything else? I mean,
I'll
let you go here. You don't want to bore anybody. Anybody got a question for the job board doctor? No? Okay. You want to sing around for stay for the song?
Oh, of course.
Okay. Jay, are you there?
Yes, sir.
This is when we sing. You know the song, My Love Will Not Let You Down?
I don't think I do.
Okay.
Never
it just
heard of
goes,
it.
It just goes like this. My love, 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 love will not let you down. My love, 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 love will not let you down. Okay?
Okay.
I'm going to play the song if I can find it. Gee whiz, what did I do with it? And I'm going to play that song.
Is this Springsteen's version?
No, it's what's her name's version?
Dave Matthews?
Mary something Chapin Carpenter. Oh, geez. I can't find it. I uploaded it just before the show. Just one sec, everybody. Just let me see. That's not it. I can't find the song.
The world on. Can we get along with this, man? Yeah.
You know what? I can't find it. I know it's here. Okay, I'll have to move on. Maybe I'll find it later on. Sorry, everybody.
I just threw my hat up in the air, though.
Okay, great. Okay, gave away your age. Now, listen, before I go on, everybody, I want to tell you about allcountyjobs.com. Allcountyjobs.com.
Again?
They're paying. They're a paying sponsor of this show, right? Hey, Jay Muna, the J-Man, have you ever heard the phrase, small is beautiful?
Certainly.
Did your wife tell you that? Now, look, it's not always true. It's not always true, but sometimes it is. And I want you to think of Sandra Bullock. She's cute, isn't she?
Yeah, I know.
You don't think so? She's cute.
She's not all that.
Okay, well, I know she's had some trouble with her husband lately, who's not her husband anymore, but I think she's pretty cute. So I want to tell you about the Sandra Bullock of online job boards. AllCountyJobs.com is a sponsor, as I said, of the Recruiting Animal Show. They provide local job listings on a county-by-county basis. They've got LongIslandJobs.net. You guys should know these by heart already. BaltimoreJobs.net, PhiladelphiaJobs.net, WashingtonDCJobs.net, NewJerseyJobsShop.com, and many, many more. And they all link to each other and form a network of job sites representing localities all along the eastern coast of the United States, and combined, they reach over 250,000 job seekers per month. AllCountyJobs.com, at Chris Russell, is the owner. Tell him you heard about it here. Okay. Now, before we get to SEO for recruiters, thank you, Job Board Doctor. Appreciate it. Come back again. And anyway, I just wanted to talk about inheritance, the stuff I was talking about. If you teach your kid French, he or she could get a job, you know, for bilingual people that he or she would not be able to get otherwise. That influences
not in the United States.
Well, if you teach them any kind of skill, that's going to influence their income. How can this guy say that parents have no influence on their children?
That's
anybody
an
got
idiot.
An opinion?
I'm a parent, and I not only disagree with that, you have to be aware of your influence and use it for good.
Okay, well, I guess the statistics say something else, Jerry, or the studies. Anybody got an opinion before we move on?
I read that post too, and I thought really what it was saying is it's not to say whether they could do it or not or whether parents have no influence. It's more to say that you're going to have a proclivity, like, the opportunity to be musical or learn a language or something like that is going to go way up if you have a parent who can do those things. It's not
to
say you couldn't do it.
He said that, you know, you can buck your kid to do something, it'll have an effect in the short term. By the time they're an adult, it will have no effect at all. It will leave no impression on them whatsoever. We'll move on. I just wanted to know everybody's opinion. Jay, your Twitter bio, you're a social media guy. You want to tell us what your job is?
That Twitter bio is probably way out of date because I don't use Twitter too much anymore. I am actually head of marketing. My official job title is actually Noisy Apricot, and I work for a company called Wild Apricot. We are a maker of membership and website software for small associations and nonprofits are our primary customers.
You're so fuzzy. I don't know if anybody can hear. Can everybody hear this guy?
Is Animal a customer then? You mentioned nonprofits.
Not that I know of, but, you know, we're always looking. Are you having trouble hearing me? I'm on a regular landline, so.
Yeah, but it sounds fuzzy to me, you know. But so you make social media programs or marketing programs for companies, for nonprofits? Is that what you said?
I would call it it's website and membership management. That's what we sort of primarily call it. And it's one product that's for small organizations that need something to help manage their, like, membership renewals and online event registration, and also it has a website component to it, which is...
Okay, so you're a guy who understands something about building websites. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's all I wanted to establish. Okay, I should do the intros. I should never ask anybody for their elevator speech. You'd never want to talk to them again. Okay, now, just before, I have to just give you some advice. On your Twitter bio, you've got a live web link to your landing page, and then in the text section, you've got a dead link to the same thing. You know, that's stupid. I mean, it doesn't tell me that you're
a know-it-all.
What?
Because I don't use Twitter anymore. I haven't tweeted since.
Oh, but when you put it in there, it made sense. Is that what you're saying? To make a dead link after a live link?
Well, probably a dead link when I put it in.
I got to say one thing, though. I like your picture. Now, we're gonna. But there's another question. You've got a website. There's a Twitter page called Jay Moonah, J-A-Y-M-O-O-N-A-H. And you go there, and it says, I'm not at this page. I'm at Jay Moonah, just the letter J and your last name. Now, Jay Moonah, your full name, since it's so short, is what people would intuitively go to. Why didn't you go for that one? Why did you have to do something confusing?
That's a good question. I signed up for Twitter like 6 years ago, so I don't really remember.
Yeah, Twitter wasn't around 6 years ago. You're a liar, and I bet you did jump over the subway, Kurt style. Okay?
Wait, when did Twitter start? 2006, right?
2007.
No, it's not right. No, I've been on this since October 2006.
Okay, now look, last week, one of our listeners, Mel Banwell, who's listening right now, she was going to take my advice to get a landing page instead of a corporate website. You talked her out of it, so I said, come on the show and explain your position, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know if I talked her out of it, but I think I was trying to offer some other, an alternative perspective, if you will, to what was being said, and I think what's said a lot.
I just want everybody to notice, the guy can't even, you know, admit that he talked her out of it. I mean, yes, he did. He was arguing against me very strenuously.
Well,
so now present your opinion, okay? Don't
be mealy-mouthed.
Don't be slippery on this show, okay?
Not at all. I think you had a perspective, and the fact that it was wrong didn't bother me.
Okay, maybe he's calling from the office. He's got to be politically correct. Go ahead.
Well, if you want me to tell you you were wrong, you were wrong. Fair enough?
Okay.
So here's what you were saying, and I think what a lot of people say that I think is frankly wrong. And actually, when you and I talked earlier, I had a good kind of comparison, which is you said, and you said this in your blog post, that I think corporate websites suck is basically what you said, and that nobody should have them. I think that was kind of what I paraphrased a little, but that was essentially what you said, right?
You know what? Most corporate websites suck, and I'll tell you why. And so that doesn't mean no one should have a corporate website. It should mean that there should be better, but that most people aren't going to make them any better, so they might as well not have them at all. Why have a site that you talk about yourself in the third person like you're a pompous ass? What's the point of that? That's what I was saying. You might as well just have a little landing site like dooid.com or about.me.com. It's got a nice picture there that you can put there yourself. You put all your important links there. Link to your Facebook page. You've got a nice little landing page there.
Sure.
jaymoonah.com. 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 People can go and take a look at it right now. That's much better than a corporate website. You got your little gadget with your Flickr stuff there. You got the weather for Toronto. You've got your last FM favorite songs. You've got your blog posts or whatever it is. You've got a blog, I think. You've got a bunch of links to your important social media web presences.
Sure.
And there's nothing there that says, I'm Bald Jay Moonah, and I'm the best-looking guy in the world, and you want me as your ultimate VP of marketing, you know? Or it doesn't say I'm that. You say the distinguished Jay Moonah is a highly desired speaker at all kinds of social media events. It doesn't say anything like that. It's clean. It's direct. It's better. Now you tell me why a corporate website would be better.
The example that I used earlier with you, and I want to repeat it because I think it's apt, which is, if saying that corporate websites are bad means that you shouldn't have corporate websites, it's exactly like saying a lot of resumes are bad, so people should stop doing resumes. What I think we should do is encourage people to do a better job with them. And I think, okay, yeah, you gave an example of me personally. I've got a little page with some links, and I think that that's great for, you know, personal branding, which I think is kind of a weird phrase, but I know a lot of people like it. So, you know, for the idea of, I'm Jay Moonah, here's some stuff about me, and here's links to my social net stuff or whatever, that's fine. For a business, and I'm not saying this is necessarily true for all businesses, and it may not be at all true for recruiting business. I'm not in the recruiting business, so I'm not necessarily talking specifically about that. I'm talking about business in general. My experience is that if you have a website that is, you know, as you say, you can write sort of pompous copy, and you know, that's a problem, I think, of corporations not being able to communicate with humans. That's a different problem. I think it's not a problem of websites. What websites can do is give you the opportunity to communicate different things and optimize them for SEO is one of the points. Provide relevant information, you know, like a contact form, you know, that you customize. Yeah, you know, a list of services that is hard to do in other places. There's lots of things that you can do. You can share content. You can make a blog a part of that. You know, you got a blog. A lot of people have blogs, and that's a useful way to share certain kinds of information. So to say outright websites suck or you shouldn't have a website, the problem I have with that message is people who are starting businesses hear it. People who are starting businesses read that Sarah Needleman article that you linked to from the journal, and they think, oh, well, I don't need a website. So, you know, I'm just going to start my business and have a bunch of shit on Facebook or Twitter or lots of other
things.
Don't
say shit.
Sorry.
Don't say shit on this show.
Are you
no bad talk, okay?
Sorry. I get into it and I forget myself.
Okay, also, you know what? I thought you were going to start sound a little smarter than this, so I let you go talking on your own. I'll guide you through this stuff, okay?
please guide me.
Yeah, okay. So what you told me was that in terms of SEO, for instance, let's talk about the other guy who was arguing with you, Radical Recruit. He said, you don't need a website anymore. You should have a Facebook fan page for your business. That's good enough. Why not?
A Facebook fan page is fine, and I think that's one thing you can have. But he was talking about...
Don't be like that here.
What?
Don't say, oh, yeah, that's great, but but just say, I don't agree. I am against Radical Recruit. He's 100% wrong.
Hang on.
Great with me.
No, hang on. Look, I'm not saying you shouldn't have a Facebook page. That's I don't want to come across as saying that. So let's start from there, okay? What I'm saying is that having a Facebook page instead of a website is a mistake. If it makes sense for you to have a Facebook page, great, have a Facebook page. But what he was trying to say is, oh, you can do all your Google juice and you can generate, you know, all of that through Facebook. And that's just wrong. If you are going to properly optimize for SEO, you got to have control over your text, you got to have control over your code, you got to have control over people's ability to link, what those links are called. There's a bunch of different things. And you simply can't do that with Facebook or Twitter or those kinds of things, where you don't really have that level of control. What you have is...
SEO,
okay.
Just so people know,
sure.
Search engine optimization.
Sorry, yes.
You can fix up your website, and we'll get to some details in a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You can fix up your website so that you're going to rank higher if someone does a search in your relevant topic, okay?
Right.
So you're saying that Facebook is no good for SEO. Why not?
It's
specifically...
Again, you're going to say this is mealy mouth or something, but you know the world isn't as black and white as you like to paint it. The Facebook is fine for aspects of SEO, and it is a tool that can influence SEO. My point was, if you want to have real good SEO, you probably need to use both Facebook and a good website or Twitter.
Yeah, I heard you the first time. Can you tell me why Facebook is where it's falling short? Okay, that's what people want to hear.
Control. It's
they're
control.
Gonna hang up. I got to tell you, half the people who were on this call at the beginning, they're gone already.
Sure, I'm
next
sure that's true.
Good for me, okay? And you're not going to be here next week. I am, okay? I'll have no audience because of you.
Well,
don't blame it all on him, dude.
Not really my problem. I said it though. I mean, basically, a website gives you control that you don't have with these other things.
Let's
that's
just
simple as that.
Things. Let's list the things that you have no control over that are relevant to SEO on a Facebook fan page.
Sure,
okay?
Simple. So picture your browser window, right, if you're using Internet Explorer, Netscape, whatever. There's a little blue bar or something at the top that has a title, right? So whatever page you look at, there's that. That's called your HTML title. That's actually a really important aspect of SEO, search engine optimization, and having control over that is a really important thing, because you want that to say, describe what the page is about, describe what the content is, and that's the first thing that Google sees when it crawls your page, when it indexes your page.
What are we talking about, the web address or something else?
It's not the web address. The place that you see it the most is, well, there's two places that you'll see it sort of commonly. You'll see it in the, if you know, there's a little blue bar across the top of your screen when you have a program open, and you'll see it.
Okay.
You know what it'll say, like Internet Explorer dash, and then it'll say give some description of the page you're on. The other place you'll see it is if you create a bookmark or a favorite for something, and it'll come up with a little description, right?
That,
it gets that from the title, but Google puts a lot of stock in that. Google looks very closely at that. So that has to be descriptive. If you are...
What
the heck
are you even talking about?
Well, that's what I'm saying. This is pretty technical, right? But okay, here.
It's
go to
not
a web page right now.
At all. Who said he doesn't know? Who said that?
What are you listening?
Who said it? Hey, just say your name. Who said that? I don't understand.
Probably one of
Dynamite.
Look, I was just going to explain to you, Chicken Face, that every website has a description of what's in there at
right.
the in the code. Behind the picture, it tells you what's there. When you bookmark something, that
right.
becomes visible in the bookmark. And Google reads it, and they use the keywords in that description of the page. They use it to rank your page and send people there. That's what they use it. And you're saying, this guy Jay is saying, you don't have that in Facebook on your fan page. Is that what you're saying, Jay?
Yeah, you don't have control over it. It's generated by Facebook, and it might say what you need to say, but likely it's not going to. You're certainly not going to have that kind of fine control.
Hold on, you just said they've – so you got the title. You got the title information there. You've got the description of the fan page?
Yeah, there'll be something there, but you don't have that much control. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Like, there's always something
there. How's it generated? How's it generated then?
Well, Facebook has its own logic for doing it. So it'll look at something in your page. Maybe there's a description field or something that they look at, but they're going to generate it in their way. They're probably going to put the word Facebook first, for starters, because it's Facebook. If you're on your own site or your own blog, you can set it up so that it puts the really pertinent words first, and that matters to Google, especially when you're trying to rank for a difficult term.
Okay. What's a difficult term? One that there's a lot of competition on?
Yeah, I'll give you an example. Like for our in our industry, membership software is an important term. Okay, so we're always trying to make sure that we include that term in a lot of what we talk about, and a lot of other people are trying to do the same thing. So basically, I'm battling against a bunch of other people who are trying to rank for the same term. So you know, we'll be
the same keywords. They're using the same
exactly.
keywords as you, and you
yeah.
want to rank above them. So what do you do?
So first thing we do is we control the page content, so that'll be, you know, include that title tag. Then there's actually the text of the page, right? So there's things like there's headers, there's these different sort of levels of information within an HTML page. So there's a big header at the top that'll be the main title of the page. Then there's some little smaller headers. Google will look at those too. Google will actually look at the text of the page.
And so you actually make sure that the keyword appears in like the title of a blog posting and then the subtitle.
You got
and, okay, fine. Those
and you
important.
Can't overdo it. You can't just put it a million times because Google will know you're trying to spam it. So it's got to be
yeah.
it's got to be something that makes sense to humans. But
uh-huh.
that's part of the art of it, right? You got to write something that still makes sense, but is including these keywords and including these terms. The other key bit is getting links. So, for instance, if you've generated a page that's on a topic, what you want to do is get people to link to that. Blogs are great for
yeah.
this, right? So if you've written
yeah.
a great blog post and it's about, you know, great recruiting practices, right?
Right.
And you get everybody, you know, on your show to put a link to that and put links in Twitter and in Facebook for sure, but also, you know, from their own blogs or from other sites. The more links you have to a piece of content, the higher Google and other search engines are going to rank that too.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
But can you have that on Facebook, people linking to your postings?
You can, but it's a lot harder because Facebook uses these kind of arcane ways. Like if you ever tried to isolate a status update or isolate a Twitter post, it's trickier, right? Because you got to click on the guy's name, and you got to click on the post, and you got to do all this stuff. So people are a lot less likely to link to it directly. They're going to say, you know, Recruiting Animal said something cool, and maybe link to your first page, which is fine, and that gives you a little bit of juice. But again, to have that sort of fine control, you got to be able to identify these individual
here.
Pages.
Let me
yeah.
ask you something. With these mm-hmm. links, so Google rates you higher when you're linking back to, let's say, my blog. If a bunch of people link to a posting on my blog.
Mm-hmm.
Google's going to think I'm more important. But there's Google distinguishes between the sites that are linking back to you. And certain
Absolutely.
Sites are way more important than
mm-hmm.
others. So when we're always talking about social media influence or online influence, Google is actually ranking all of us. Is that right?
Absolutely.
So
and
there should
yeah.
be a way for – can we tell who the top influencers are in recruiting online just from some kind of Google ranking of their websites?
Yeah, now there's a real simple score that Google gives just about every page online, and it's actually called the PageRank.
Yeah.
And the easiest way to see that is if you use the Google toolbar, it's actually this little green part of the Google toolbar, and the higher the PageRank, the more that number goes up. Then there's this whole kind of really sophisticated, this is where it gets, you know, sort of, you know, you need an expert to kind of guide you through it. Okay, so, you know, two pages will have an equal PageRank, but one page might be about recruiting and one page might be about furniture. So the links regarding recruiting from the furniture page aren't going to be as valuable as the links from the high-ranked recruiting page because Google also takes into account, well, what is that page actually about? And it looks at that in a couple ways. It looks at that by the page contents again, but it also kind of creates these neighborhoods. So
uh-huh.
for instance, you're linking to other recruiting blogs and they're linking to you, And they know
yeah.
that there's lots of recruiting-related terms in there, so they go, okay, well, this is a little recruiting neighborhood over here. And that
yeah.
that basically gives you guys all some juice in that in those in that terminology.
Okay, so if I give money, to a charity and they
mm-hmm.
write a posting about me on their charity
yep.
site and link back to my website and say Recruiting Animal is the most fantastic guy, even if they're high ranked in the charity neighborhood, that's not going to do much for me because they don't count much in the recruiting neighborhood. Is that what you're saying?
If they're all other things being equal, you'd want to be linked from somebody else who's kind of in recruiting, but
yeah, I want
a charity
to
link
to me.
Right, but a charity like if it's you know, something big like Cancer Society or something, and they link to you from their front page, that's going to be worth something regardless because that's a high authority site. Lots of people link to that site. So it's, you know, all of these things play a different role depending on, you know, what's relative. But, yeah, if they have exactly equal page ranks and exactly equal, you know, all other things being equal, then, yeah, you want to be associated with things that are kind of more
yeah,
in your neighborhood.
Don't drag things out on this show. Just get to the point and move on, okay? I got listeners. Keep remembering that, okay?
Some of them hung up.
Some of them did. Listen, with Radical Recruit, are you here? Are you on the line by any chance? Or did you man up and call in? I gave you a nod.
No.
Okay? He didn't. He's talking tough on Twitter. That's why I thought I'd give him a chance. You can call
easy
in. I'll let you talk to the guy. Okay. So is there? You know, I'm sort of confused about you know why Facebook and why these landing pages can't get. So you know, if you've got a blog, you're putting
mm-hmm.
in tons of content. If you've got a static corporate website that says, Joe Blow or Jerry Albright is the most fantastic respected recruiter in the state of Indiana.
I love it.
Yeah, and all kinds of people love him and blah, blah, blah. But if that's not changing, and since he doesn't have any changing content there, nobody's really linking to it, what value is that going to have in terms of Google ranking? And I have another
mm-hmm.
question first. You told me that you
yep.
get most of your business or a lot of it from your website. So
Please.
I want to know how you make your website rank highly. You told us you put the keywords in the title description area of,
mm-hmm.
of what it does. You used it in the titles. You used the keywords in the titles and subtitles of your blog postings or your various pages on your corporate website. You make sure you've got those keywords in there in important, sensitive places. You're trying to get links back from relevant, associations, nonprofit
yeah.
associations in your neighborhood, especially the high-ranking ones. So what else is there that – how high do you rank? If I put in this – what was it called, membership software, where do
yeah.
you come up on Google?
Well, probably 3 or 4 on that one because it's very competitive. We rank number one for a lot of other good terms.
Good terms that people are going to search. You got to be. You,
yeah.
know, you can rank number one on the Jaybird, but no one's going to be looking up
no,
your
right.
company.
No, we rank number one on a lot of membership software related terms. There's membership management software. I could go down a list.
Jerry was bragging that he doesn't have a
sure.
website. He doesn't really care about it.
I wasn't bragging. Okay, I was just saying that for the most part, I don't have a constantly updated SEO optimized web page.
Right.
It's not how I do business, and it's irrelevant.
And he's still a huge money maker. He's making way more
sure.
money than you, Jay. Okay.
I'm sure.
Hold it. I don't say that. I've never said that. Now
okay.
I have told you personally offline. Feel free to outbill me, and then you can tell me how you did it. But I never say stuff like that publicly or on your radio
okay, but
show.
I'm saying
you don't have to. We saw your yard.
Yeah, right.
Oh, you
That's
did?
Right.
Yeah, that walkway.
He puts up
yeah.
pictures of his place. They're not. It's nicer than yours, but it's in the middle of nowhere, Jay.
I just
okay.
pulled up to
no.
her. He's got more hair than me, too. So I'm jealous.
Yeah. He does.
Not
but
anymore.
Here's
I've got
point.
An announcement. I cut my hair, ladies.
Okay. Let's say Jerry wanted to create
and
a website.
And Mike Asbringer.
So let's say he, you know, I know it's impossible to be more successful than he already is, but theoretically, if he wanted to be more successful,
if I wanted
what
to tweak it a little bit,
if he wanted to do, what would he do?
Well, I mean, I don't know what he's got up there now, but I think you know, you identified a lot of the really good things you can do, which is, you know, if you have a blog or you have some regularly updating content, and we have that as part of our website, we do get a lot of links from that. So we post things like we just did a post, and we do this regularly. We point to a bunch of free webinars for nonprofits and for a lot of our kind of customers.
No, let me cut you off, okay? No, you let me cut you off. So let's say he's got a blog or he's got a website with, you know, different tabs like contact, our team, what we do. Well, those are all separate pages with their own URLs, right?
Sure.
Their own web addresses. Yeah. So the thing is, there's a million recruiters. What keywords is he, even if he uses in his, you know, his title, his description of his page, you know, I'm a recruiter. There's going to be a million recruiters doing that. How can he distinguish himself? So when someone does a search on recruiter or IT recruiter, how's he going to come up high?
I think you got to be very specific. So if you're, recruiter, you're never going to rank, you know, somebody's going to rank for that, but you know, probably Joe Schmo recruiter isn't going to rank for that. You know, if you want to get into Toronto IT recruiter, or I don't know the keywords in your guys' business, to be totally honest, but you know, you do some research, you see what searches are. There's a tool, actually, Google will tell you whether a word gets a lot of search traffic. There's I got to look up the location for it, but
okay,
it's
there's
the
a number. There's a number of tools. People
are going tools,
to and say keyword tool. They're going to get what they, you know, they're going to find out what the keywords are. But here's the point. We're assuming that all recruiters are interested in the same keywords. The people who are searching for recruiters, whether they're companies or potential candidates, aren't they all looking the same stuff? How is Jerry going to make himself stand out? Or we've got the resume strategy. She's here in Toronto. She writes resumes worldwide, I assume. How's she? The resume is an awfully common
word. You know,
word.
But the other point here,
make,
though, Animal,
don't
is
don't cut me off.
Want to stand out. Okay, I don't need people sending me their resumes to see if I can find them a job. I don't do that. That's not my work.
What about companies?
Companies don't.
Blue,
companies are not looking for recruiters. They just don't. My job is to be in touch with them beforehand. If somebody calls me out of the blue because they need a recruiter in Indiana, it's too late. I'm never their first call. And the chance of them needing someone in my specialty is slim.
To me, this kind of goes back to the broader point, which is not just about SEO. It's about establishing yourself as a legit business, right?
Yep.
So, and Jerry, actually, you and I were having a little chat about this on Facebook before.
Yeah.
And my point was, okay, I am a hiring manager. So, you know, I hire marketing professionals in Toronto. And if you call me up and say, Jay, I got access to the best marketing talent in Toronto, you know, the first thing I'm going to do is look you up online. First thing I'm going to do is Google your name and your business name and see, you know, who are these guys, what are they all about.
You already know who he is then. You already know. Well, come on. You already know who he is. We want you to find him when you don't know who he is.
No, but I'm saying you got to look at both things, right? You got to look at what are all the reasons that you're establishing a website. Not everything is for one thing, right?
You need to have some sort of an online business card.
That's it.
Well,
right.
The thing that says,
Facebook,
hey, I really am a real guy.
The Facebook page is fine for that. His argument
is Facebook is crap. That's just like using a Gmail account for your business email address. I don't believe it lends any credibility to any professional organization to have their web presence based on Facebook.
Yeah, and I agree with that.
Yeah.
Radical Recruit here yet?
No.
No. Did Mel Benwell have the guts to call in?
No.
Okay, well, what did you say? What do you say to what Jerry says, that Facebook is not a dignified way to present yourself or impressive?
I mean, it kind of goes back to what I'm saying earlier. You could do Facebook, but it shouldn't be the only thing you do. And I think that was my original point in responding to what Mel wrote, which was, you know, her original post was something like, websites are kind of old school. And I said, well, you know, old school can be good if you're trying to establish yourself as a legit business. You know, if you want to be young and hip, you know, be on the Facebooks, right? But
okay,
if you're...
Here, we got the resume strategy. She said, shut up, Jerry. I like that. She said, shut up. This guy was about to give me free advice.
Hey, you shut up, resume strategy.
She also said she'd like to see your financial statements, but you didn't brag about it. I did, okay? Now here's the thing. She's
to which I replied, so does the IRS.
Yeah, okay. She's a resume writer. If she wanted to get some, be number one she'd have to put $1 million into her site, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know your guys' business. I don't know your guys' space, so I don't know what you have to
mean.
But you
know what's common? If you're a real estate agent, there's 1 million of them, right?
Sure,
how
sure.
can a real estate agent in Toronto come up number one? And not only that, first I want to talk about sponsored links. If you pay Google, you can buy a keyword, right? And you're going to come up on the side of the Google page or at the top is a sponsored link. Now, you told me you use those sponsored
sure.
links,
yep.
and they work well. Is that right?
Absolutely, yeah. And
how much
ways
do they cost?
You know what? And I'm not just saying this. It really does vary because you can bid 2 cents on a word and get it. You can bid $10,000 on a word and not get it.
Okay, what you're bidding for is how much you have to pay Google every time someone clicks on your link, right?
That's it. So it's all about competition. It's a market, right? So it's all about how competitive the word is.
I'm guessing that for resume, you'd have to pay them $1,000 a click.
But you know what? That's why you'd never bid on resume unless you're, I guess, a huge, huge ass resume site, right? If you were, local, you know what? Your real estate example is a great example. Nobody searches for real estate in Toronto. People search for the neighborhood they want to live in. People search for the local area, right? So you got to find out what's your equivalent of your local area. What are the words that are getting it down to brass tacks of what people actually need? And one of the things that the paid search does really well is it lets you, because you can sort of put these tools where you can put things in kind of groups, it lets you capture a bunch of stuff that you might not have captured otherwise because you weren't optimizing for some really specific term. So you get hits off of somebody does some long search. It's like club software for setting up my membership and managing my events and blah, blah, blah. And they put in like 16 words. And that might not get caught because you didn't optimize a specific page for it, but it might get caught by a paid search. So that's why paid search can be a useful tool to catch some of this longer, bit sort of longer tail kind of stuff. I'm not huge on that term, but that's kind of the common term for it.
Long tail means over time. You meant
I know. That's why I don't like that term. I don't like it because it's not misused.
You know that search strings. Most people don't know complicated search strings, right? They're pretty short.
Well, you'd be surprised, actually. Some people will type in 15, 20 words into searches. It varies a lot. Searching behavior varies a lot. So some people will type really long searches. And again, when you say people are different, right? Some people type one word and expect to get their search. Some people will type 20 searches with 20 words.
Okay, a couple of questions. I read that if you're going to blog posting, so Google wants to see – it's going to see the title, and the title's going to be the biggest letters. Then you have a subtitle. They're going to be the next biggest letters in terms of font size. And it said, where I was reading, it said, don't make the other stuff later on in the blog bigger letters to compete with the stuff that's in the header. That's the important stuff that Google's sensitive to. You can confuse Google by mixing your font up too much. Is that right?
Sort of. It really has to do with this header concept. So in HTML, there's this idea of headers, and there's levels of headers. So there's header one, header two, header three. So it's, the idea is they're supposed to be hierarchical. You should have one header one. You should have a couple of header twos. You should have a few more header threes. Again, that's getting pretty
Jay,
techy.
Jay, would you mind explaining hierarchical for animal?
I understand. Thank you, Jerry. You said it wrong, by the way. Now here's something else. If you bold a word, a keyword in your blog posting, does that make Google more sensitive to it, or does that confuse Google?
That's one of those ones where there's a lot of debate, because Google doesn't actually tell us the rules, right? They there's a lot of experimentation. So you can get people that will swear up and down that bolding makes a difference. You will get people that will swear up and down that it doesn't. That's one of those real.
Okay.
You know.
When you've got a web address, if your website is called Resume Strategy, which hers isn't. Hers is Resume Confidential. So if you have Resume Confidential, should you put a hyphen between Resume and Confidential? I've heard a lot of debate about that. Is that more? I think hyphens are terrible because when you want to communicate something, but does it make it more sensitive to Google or not?
That's another one of those ones where I think you could probably find five people on either side of that debate and have that debate all day.
One thing I think is for sure, if it said what I read, if you're going to link back to somebody, you should link from specific text, not just put a URL.
That's 100% true. I can give you a great example of that. I give you one of the funniest examples of that. There used to be a page it's probably still there, on the White House site that was the actual official biography for George Bush, and a bunch of people linked the term miserable failure to that. So they typed in blog posts and stuff, miserable failure, and linked to George Bush. And for a long time, if you type miserable failure into Google, the first thing will come up was George Bush's bio, his official bio.
Okay, now, if people want to link back to their site, they can go to directories and stuff because, you know, Google measures the number of links. But really, what you need the leaders in your field who've got great websites that, that Google respects. You've got to get them to link back to you. Is that right?
That's right. And, again, I think that's why stuff like blogging and creating that regular content, because people, as you say, they're not going to link to your About Us page.
Yeah,
it's never changing.
It's hard to get your blog, you know, it's hard to get your blog linked to if, you know, if you're just an ordinary guy. What about if you put comments on a Big Shots page?
Yeah, that'll help. And I think it depends on how people have their blog set up, whether links back from the comments fields count or not. That's actually on a case-by-case
right,
basis.
These links that are called nofollow. So
yeah. So people can set up their comments so that they're all nofollow, so that doesn't actually help you. Although it could help people find you and you know, want to link to you from somewhere else. So, you know, it's
anybody on the call have a question? I got a 416 call here. Who's that?
That's me, Animal.
You got something to say?
No, I mean you asked me to call in, so I called in.
Yeah, this guy told me he was going to demolish you, and he didn't. But you know, I'm giving you a chance to demolish him. Jeff Webb, Radical Recruit. He's got the name of your Facebook fan page?
Radical Events.
Radical Ones. The Radical Ones, right?
Yeah, that's one of the groups. Yeah, there's Radical Events is the fan page.
Okay, Radical Events. Now he's got Radical Events on Facebook. Now you want to criticize him to his face, or you wanted to criticize Jay Muna to his face while you're on the line?
No, look, I mean, Jay's saying cool things for, you know, clicks and bricks type of organizations. I mean, SEO works if somebody's going to be looking for you, you know, if they're looking for a carpenter in Toronto or somebody to remove, you know, to remove pests from their home. I mean, that all makes sense to me. I mean, but, you know, the business that we're in, and he said very early on that, you know, he's not in the recruiting business, he was honest about that, is about people. And that's why, you know, I like social platforms a little bit more for building out a web presence.
Yeah, and again, I don't disagree with that for your guys' business. I don't disagree with that for your guys' business. It's probably a little bit different business. My point is that if there's an opportunity within your business to take advantage of some of this stuff and to get the sort of broader appeal that SEO offers, then you know, by all means. But I also think I want to still take it back a step, which is I still think having that web presence that's not just on Facebook or not just somewhere else is important for a lot of other reasons too. SEO is definitely part of it, but you know, having a page and you talked about landing pages and that sort of stuff, it could be something like that. But I think having some kind of web presence that's at an address that looks, you know, pretty good, that has good information on it, I think that's good for a lot of other reasons that, you know,
are
not just about Google. They're about, you know, people typing in an address and expecting to see them.
Okay, yeah, you said it 100 times. Look,
yeah,
I just want to...
It's about what web address you're putting on your business card.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not going to put a Facebook fan page on your business card.
Right.
Why not, though, Jerry? I mean, you can link
it looks
a URL to a fan page.
It looks hackied.
No, it doesn't. There's some great fan pages out there that are built with strong UI, with pages, with tools like PageMono to give them great front landing pages that look very professional.
Now, would you redirect your own your URL to your Facebook fan page?
Yeah, Facebook now allows that, so you can get your own URL redirect directly to your fan page that's totally masked as well.
And then you're subject to whatever Facebook wants to do with that for perpetuity.
That's the same as people who sit there and say, don't host your blog on anybody but your own server, right? I mean, at some point, you're subject to everybody's rules. If Google all went away, there would be thousands of people who would be screwed tomorrow. But it's not likely to happen, right? So,
But Facebook changes their rules pretty regularly about what they'll allow and won't allow. Like the masking thing, for instance, is pretty new. I actually didn't know you could do that now.
Yeah.
Let me interrupt for a sec. Hold on. I got this guy, Darren R. McClure. He's telling me, you know, the sponsored links, it's called pay-per-click. Thanks.
Sure.
We know. This guy knows it's pay-per-click, okay? But we don't know if the audience knows. We just had to spell it out in terms. And now he's telling me, keyword bombing. He said, you want to comment on keyword bombing? What's a keyword bombing?
That's the miserable failure thing. That's what it's called. It's called keyword bombing.
Google bombing.
Hey,
Jeff, don't talk over me when I'm talking to this guy.
Hey, now, Animal, hold on a second, Animal. You invited Jeff to show up. Now, don't blast him. Allow the gentleman to speak.
No, I wanted to ask about the keyword bombing, because my understanding, Jay, was that Google had fixed its algorithm, so that doesn't happen anymore. But I might be wrong. I'm just asking.
The true Google bombing, like the miserable failure example, shouldn't work anymore, because Google has all kinds of traps to catch it. But linking from relevant text is a key part of how Google works. So bombing was a perversion of the way that Google works, and it's mostly been fixed. But linking from relevant text is the way Google works, and that's still really important. It's just kind of a funny example.
Okay, cool. That's cool. I wanted to clarify.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a guy.
All right, we handled that.
Mid 247, still doesn't know. He's saying, what's a website? What's a landing site? What's the difference? Go to about.me. That's a landing site. Go to DOOID.com. That's a landing site. It's a page that you make, and you just put a bunch of links on it. It's got set up for this to send people to your other pages. It's a direction. It's like a map for where you are online.
It's where you land.
Now, Jay, there's a couple of regular listeners. One of them is this guy, Darren R. McClure, who also goes under the Twitter name Workway, and R. Levine, LIVIGNE 42. Anyway, they're saying they're going to get the CEO of Empire Avenue as a guest on my show. Is that something I should be excited about? Well, what's Empire Avenue? What's your take on it?
I have no idea. I don't know. I've never heard of it.
Are you kidding?
Don't embarrass yourself.
Oh, boy.
I can't help you. What is it?
Hey, everybody. I'm sorry. You know, he's Mel Benwell's friend. I thought maybe he knew something.
The stuff that you haven't heard of, just say, yeah, I've heard of it, and it's...
Sure, okay. Well, yeah, it's great. You should get that guy for sure. He's awesome.
No, hold on. Now, Mel Benwell, I was on her Facebook page, okay, when I was reading that article. She's got a picture there of her boyfriend or her husband holding her up in the air.
What are you talking about?
She's wearing these pantaloons that show off her thighs very
well. Oh, my.
Is that a good thing? Is that a good thing to put on your website? Is that gonna, like, I saw a guy on his blog once. He had a picture of Kate Bush where she was wearing a thin shirt. Let's put it that way. And he said this is pretty irrelevant to what my blog is about. That has got the most hits of anything on my site. And I remember once when I was a partner on recruiting.com, I put up a picture of Keira Knightley, and that got just like endless hits. Is it good to put up pictures of pretty girls?
If you're asking me to comment on my best friend's, how my best friend's wife dresses on her Facebook page, no comments.
Don't be jealous, but I've been shy.
No comments, my friend.
All day.
You missed my point. What if it's not her? What if you just got some pictures of booth girls? You went to a trade show and they had some booth girls. Is it good to put those up?
I mean, it depends on what you're trying to do. There's lots of ways that, you know, if you're a club and you're trying to convince people that there's hot women at your club, sure. But if you're recruiting and you want to be serious, I don't think so. Like,
okay. Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends what kind of business you're in. I thought you guys were one kind of business. I don't know what kind of recruiting we're talking about here.
They're not relevant hits.
Oh.
Okay. Okay. Anybody got any questions? We're almost out of time. Radical Recruit, you want to ask any questions? The guy doesn't know what Empire Avenue is, but he might know something else.
Is Empire Avenue a social media exchange? I don't know what the hell this is. I just looked it up.
Don't you worry about it later. Listen to the next show, whatever. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think it's any questions.
No, I'm good, Animal, but thanks.
Okay. Now I also read that Google rates the trustworthiness of links. What does that mean? Is that like, it's just like you said, there's big people and nobodies, and so is that like a ranking process?
It's all related to that page rank and who links to it and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, it's exactly that. It's
okay.
It's
what's
a different,
black
different
hat? What's black hat SEO?
Black hat SEO is the sort of all the ways you can game the system. So you can create things called link farms and all kinds of crazy things. There's a lot of stuff, and Google's constantly doing updates. They did an update not that long ago to try and fight some of the bad stuff. So you can find some guy who will say, I guarantee you can rank top 10 for, you know, a bunch of hard to rank words, and you pay us $1,000 a month or something. And if he won't tell you how he's doing that, then you probably want to avoid that. Because it'll work in the short term, but Google will nick you for it later. And in fact, they just did this update very recently that nicked a lot of people for some of these bad practices. A lot of people lost rank, and I'm happy to say, and this isn't to brag, well, it is to brag a little, we didn't lose much rank because we don't, for our business, we don't undertake those kind of weird practices. We try and do it through, you know, authentic people who want to link to our blog, people who want to link to our information.
Okay,
so I would recommend
that. Here's another question. If I put an article on my blog and then I go and post the same thing on a network site like recruitingblogs.com, mm-hmm. is Google going to see that this posting is word for word the same on two sites and they're going to discount it?
What I would do is make sure that it's kind of somewhere that's properly attributed, right? So Google's actually fairly smart about this stuff, and it everything depends. It, you know, things can always go awry. But if you actually put reposted from somewhere and a link back, then Google, it's a reposting, and it's done often, as you know. So, you know, I don't think it's going to be a big deal generally. If it doesn't genuinely look like you're trying to spam Google, then Google isn't going to freak out most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything I didn't ask you that you think is really important for small business owners to know? Like, most of us are small operations.
Yeah.
We don't have tons of money.
I think the thing I'd say is all this stuff around SEO and around, you know, web and that, you got to look at it in the context of your business. And, again, I don't know your guys' business that well, but if it makes sense for you to try and generate leads through Google, you know, make sure you got a good website to do that. If that's not your business, maybe you don't really need it. But the thing that I don't like is the kind of discounting out of hand. We don't need a website because we're not that kind of business. Well, look at it. You know, really, like, think about all the things that a website could do for you and none of them are going to help you. Okay. If you can answer that honestly, sure. But I think most businesses would have to say, yeah, having a website, even a simple one, can do something for us, and so we should put a little bit of time and money into it.
Thank you!
Wow, here we go, huh?
That was your favorite topic, Jerry.
Yeah, man.
I can tell.
My dog is over here kind of with a dry heave going on in the background. And I'm not sure if we have an animal emergency or...
Ooh.
Oh, no.
Well, we'll see how he does over the next 10 minutes.
Hang in there, boy. Hang in there.
Is it hot there? Is he overheating?
No, man. He seemed all right. Seemed okay. Good. Okay, who all's still here? Hey, Jeff, glad to have you hanging out. How's life?
It's good. It's good.
All right.
It's going well.
Give us a score for the show. I'm jumping right into that because I got a ton of stuff happening too.
Okay, no worries.
Scale of 1 to 100 for the guest.
Oh yeah, we're on the 1 to 100.
Yeah,
I would give Animal Nady. I think he was really well researched.
Okay.
And the guest. You know, I'll give him a 65. I think he knew his stuff in SEO. I'm just not sure he understood what, you know, recruiting is all about.
And I don't. And I to be fair, I said that right up front, I think, right?
Yeah,
he did. He did. Though not.
And I was pretty clear with Animal about that. I said a couple times, I'm not a recruiter. I can't talk to recruiting in a serious way.
That's okay. We were here to educate you, too. So
yeah, that's all right.
Thanks.
But yeah, there's a lot of recruiters that, I mean, it's recommended that they should be pretty well specialized. So normally it's a proactive thing where you're not just really counting on a bunch of web Google searches to bring business to you.
And I get that.
It's a reactionary business.
And Jeff, was that your comment?
I would go on top of Jerry and just say a lot of the really good specialists like Jerry, niche recruiters, they don't even care. They don't need a website because they have, I mean, they're well known in their niche, right? So a website is not going to help them at all.
Well, but this is, again, the thing. I don't understand your guys' business exactly, but I come back to, if you're approaching me as a hiring manager, and you're saying, I'm so-and-so, and I can kick ass on getting you good marketing talent. I'm not saying this just to make the argument. I'm saying, honestly, what I would do is look up the website first thing. Sure. And if there's no website or if there's a bounce to a Facebook page, I'm like, well, you know, what kind of fly-by-night shop are these guys? I'm thinking, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense to a certain point. I mean, which gets to my point in that you should have some sort of a website or a web presence. You know, I mean, there's five or six places where I can be found. The majority of it has nothing to do with my day-to-day business, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and my company has a website where, I mean, it's pretty simple, who we are, and then, you know, the about page, and that's, you know, contact. And that's really about it. I mean, the majority of what can we do for people is more of an engaged phone or in-person conversation than it is, you know, a website. But you do need that. You need to have something on your business card.
That's it. And again, it's going to be different for different businesses. And I'll be honest, the conversation around SEO specifically, I mean, I said to Animal at the front, is that, you know, SEO is interesting, but it's not the only reason for a website. And
sure.
And I think you're talking about, for a different kind of business, SEO is pretty relevant, but to have some kind of presence, even if it's a simple one and even if it links to a Facebook page or some other things is on top of that, but I think having some kind of site that's your own site with your own brand, you know, just at a simple level, and I think, Jerry, you made that comment about branding and people beating the idea of branding to death with a stick. You know, I think it's totally overdone, especially for the kind of business you guys are in. Because you guys are basically not too different from consultants, and I come from that background too.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, you can really beat up the idea of branding and personal branding and that sort of stuff. And I think it's a lot of it's very overplayed. But I think that there's a place for something, and I think that there's a place for things like blogs and some generation of good content, of real content, that people can link to and people can see, and they can see you for real. And for me, that's all it's really about.
Yeah.
Hey, I just got someone sent me a message. This guy's not supposed to be here. They're supposed to cut you up, and they can't do it while you're on.
I know, Animal. I didn't know what to do. I mean, you're the guy supposed to chop people off, not me. I'm the guy.
Hey, tell me to get off. I'm off.
No.
Wait
a
minute. It's only because we tried to review the show and the guest, and having the guest here kind of clams everybody up a little bit. Sorry.
Yeah, you might as well. Look, Jerry, you hardly got anybody on.
It's me and Jeff Webb, but we may as well just keep talking about this. Hang up.
There's about five or six people here. But if this guy is here talking, I'm going to listen in too. So go. I'm happy to hear what he's got to say. It's free advice. It's worth money. Go ahead.
So you jumped back in to tell us about the rule that you're not going to enforce.
That's right.
Thank you.
I think it was a guideline.
His show.
He's Canadian, so we don't really have rules.
Yeah. Who else is here on the phone? Speak up.
Dawn Kahn's here. And
hey, Dawn, how's it going?
Hey, everything's
well.
Hi. I really think I was listening to the dialogue between Jeff and, you know, on the topic of SEO and credibility. I think the two are not mutually exclusive, and there's benefits of both. I think, Jerry, when you were talking about, you know, I drive the revenue for my business. It's not what my website says. It just reflects me, but I don't need to be number one in SEO to be effective at what I do. I think that's very true.
Yeah,
and
anybody listening, feel free to go to my website, which is Prof Search Group.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, So anybody that, like, if you look at my email address, I mean, it's Jerry at Prof Search Group. So you're going to take the little piece off the end, and you're going to say, well, what's this guy's website all about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, That'd be the first thing I'd do.
That'd be the first thing I'd do. I'm the guy who's doing that for sure.
Yeah,
but recruiters, we're looking at people. I mean, you know, the difference, SEO really, really matters if you're in an industry like PR or if you're in an industry like a keynote speaker. You really should have good SEO somewhere to say that this is somebody talking about something that I want to pay money to listen to. But it's very different if you want to pay money to, you know, play somebody in a job that requires a different skill set. And you need a little bit of both. You can get both.
Yeah, and I'm certainly not saying that there's no value in SEO. I mean, it's huge. I mean, I use Google all the time, and I hope that the products and services that I'm looking for have somebody behind the wheel that's going to make sure that I find them.
You know what, Jerry? Carl Chapman, who builds websites, he was here, and I couldn't hear him. That's too bad.
That's a bummer, because he's good. So they say. I mean, I don't have any personal knowledge of any of that. Don, what are your? We need some scores for the show, or else it's going
okay,
to.
I'll go off.
What? You can stay here. We know you got nothing else to do, so it's cool. We're not kicking you out. It's not last call.
It was a good show to me. 85-80. 85 to Animal, because Animal, it's really obvious that you've done a lot of prep to really help guide these discussions, and it's good.
Yeah.
The host did a great job. I thought it was a relevant show and very interesting.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Who else is here? Oh, I heard somebody almost say something. I sensed it. I felt it. That's it. Jeff Webb, Don Kahn, me, and Animal. While he's making a portobello sandwich.
Apparently recruiters don't love the discussion around SEO.
Well, which is true. I mean, because it drags off into the topic of marketing and branding, and it's just not what we're doing. I mean, not regular recruiters on a mission. I'm not counting on anybody to find me.
No, I know, and I don't make this. And honestly, Jerry, I don't make this argument for a lot of third parties unless they're, you know, large third party groups. But if you're in the corporate world and you're recruiting, then you're worried about brand, you're worried about SEO, and I don't understand why these guys wouldn't show up. But whatever.
Well, there's a lot of people that, frankly, just don't like Animal's approach, style, or content.
Okay, fair enough.
So let's not confuse people don't want to be on the Animal show with the topic.
Or personal hygiene, either.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah,
I'm with you. Good point.
Well, guys, I've got a super, super busy day going on, to which I attribute none of to any type of SEO or Google search.
Well done. All right.
But, no, I love it all. I love it. Now, yeah, I wish every candidate that I was recruiting for would hire an SEO person to make sure that I can find them simply by typing their stuff into Google. And now that'd be great. Individual personal SEO management.
Well, and here's the point, though. If you really go to somebody that knows what they're doing when they write the resume, they make you look better than you are. And if you hire somebody that really knows SEO, they make your work better than it is.
Yeah.
So there's a note to all the career coaches out there, right? I mean, you know, if you're not offering some sort of, you know, online presence optimization, that might be something you want to do.
Yeah.
People that do resume writing, I really wish they would learn to partner more with recruiters and we would stop throwing stones at one profession versus the other, because there's really a whole lot more we could do together than apart.
Yeah, we could party.
If there's so many resumes, if we only look at the content of a resume that was written by somebody modifying their best friend's Word template, then we're really getting the same candidate over and over again because somebody didn't think about presenting themselves as they are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is resume writers and recruiters should be working hand in hand. Tell you how many times I invite them, resume writers, for example, to come participate in open networks that helps job seekers, and how rarely they actually show up. They'd rather write the content and just keep publishing it than connect to people. I'd love to have them connect more.
Yeah. I'm with you. Mm-hmm. Everybody should connect all the time.
I agree. Anyway, go work in your backyard. It's a great place to be, Jerry.
I'm working on a well, I guess I can mention this here because nobody's listening. I'm working on a kind of a concept where I'm going to have QR code models, okay, going around at tech shows.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they
scan my chest,
kind of in a non-sexual way, but
yeah,
bring their attention. You know what I'm saying? I'm just working on it. It's just an idea.
Please
QR
tell me
model.
That Jeff didn't sign up for this and have his tattoo made in his QR code.
Yeah, you'd better hope it was a good QR code, though.
Yeah, I
certainly have it going to the wrong place.
The funny thing was, I met somebody in HR demo who actually told me that they were thinking about getting a QR code tattooed on their arm, and I said, no, don't do it. I mean, what happens when that QR code redirects? It's just a bad idea, and it looks
dumb.
And how's it going to look when you're 80?
You can't click on a QR code. It's you have to actually embed a link into the QR code to have it work like on a desktop or laptop computer. So they only work on a scanner? Is that the story on them?
Yeah, well, you need a mobile, like most people just use their mobile phones. Most scanners, most barcode scanners are also QR scanners, so.
Mm-hmm.
So you need search engine optimization
for your chest, that's all.
Yeah,
oh, that's right.
Chest SEO.
Okay, very chesty.
Okay.
Oh,
well,
awesome.
We'll end it
okay.
on that note. You guys were great. Like the guest, like the animal, love the show, and I'm back to work, everybody. It's a sunny day.
All right, take it easy, guys.
Yeah, bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Tonight you're mine, complete.